Welcome to You Learn Something New Every Day. I am Joan Boyko, Coordinator of Communications and Community Outreach for the Palm Springs Unified School District. We are here each Sunday at 6:30 a.m. on 99.1 FM KGX and 9 a.m. on 92.3 FM KWXY. We also invite you to download and subscribe to our podcast. It is really easy. All you have to do is go to iTunes, look for You Learn Something New, press subscribe. You'll get a new show each week. This show, of course, is produced by my dynamic duo of student interns here in the Digital Arts Technology Academy, also known as DATA, at Cathedral City High School under the direction of Mr. Bryce Johnson. I want to thank Jasmine Rivera and Myra Canseco for the tremendous job they are doing remotely each week. One day, ladies, I'm taking you to lunch as soon as we can. But thank you. And today I'm very pleased to welcome back our Director of Nutritional Services, Stephanie Bruce. Welcome back.
Thanks, Joan.
It's actually been a few months. It doesn't seem like it's been that long. When you look back and it's been, 10 months already since this whole mess hit. It in some ways seems like forever, and then in other ways, I just remember the day the bomb hit,
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like in a blink of an eye. And, I just like everybody here, our hearts break for the kids because they're missing out on so much.
They are. I miss them too.
Yeah, and they're just, especially our high school seniors and, last year's class at least got half a year.
Yep.
And this class is not going to get much of anything.
Nope.
And it's I have to give them credit because our staff have rolled with the punches and are doing the best that they can.
They really have. They're doing an incredible job. And just watching the school board members do their presentations, the student members.
Yeah.
It's just been really nice to see what's happening.
Speaking of our student representatives, I just have to give a shout out to Brandon Ulan, who is our rep from Desert Hot Springs High School. If you haven't seen social media, Brandon just got a full ride to Brown.
That's amazing.
Number 7, yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Full He's ride. So he got a QuestBridge scholarship. And, I knew Brandon is one of the few students who's actually in his second year as a student rep on the board. Most of them only do it their senior year. He got chosen as a junior, so he's doing it again senior year. And, I knew him a little bit last year. I was impressed with him. Like, he went to CSBA and came back and just took the ball and ran with it and started doing presentations not just about Desert Hot Springs High School, but about all of Desert Hot Springs.
Yes.
A lot of work.
Yes.
But I really had no idea how truly amazing this kid is. I mean, he's taken like 5 or 6 AP classes. And he's the student government president.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's a swimmer. And it just goes on. And he sort of just takes it all in stride, gets it all done. And he's really somebody to emulate.
Yes, for sure.
For sure. All right. We could talk about Brandon the whole show, but we're not going to do that. So how long have you been with us, for those who are unaware?
A little over 8 years, 8.5 years.
It goes fast.
It does.
It goes fast. But you were amazing before COVID hit, and after COVID hit, we've really seen, those who can muster the leadership really rise to the top, and you are certainly among several here in the district who, I know you had to do it, but you also didn't fall apart while doing it, because
not
I know,
completely.
Maybe you went home and beat your dog, but I'm not privy to that, I always say that, like, when I find these people that are just so even keeled and like you never see them lose it, I'm like, they must beat their spouse.
I hope not.
No, me too. And I'm kind of half joking, but you have to take out your frustration somewhere. But like, I know Mike Sweezy like does a lot of working out. So I know that's where he gets his frustrations out. And that's a healthy way of doing it.
It
you don't want to go beat your dog or your spouse.
I take a lot of walks.
That's good. No, that's good. That's healthy, and you do have to, you know, get it. Like we had a presentation in December for our leadership team on, you know, emotional health and self-care, because, you know, we're all trying to do right by our staff and by our kids, and we can't forget about ourselves.
No, it's difficult sometimes. It's
really
difficult.
It really is. And you know, at the beginning of this, I was kind of doing a lot more on the weekends because I ran out of time during the week, because I don't, you know, there was just so much to get done. And I was emailing, like, you know, cabinets over the weekend, and Dr. Lyon stopped me. And she said, look, you know, if this is not earth-shattering and it can wait till Monday, you need to, she goes, I can't make you. She goes, I can't make, tell Aww. You to shut off on the weekends, but I can tell you to not put pressure on others to respond. And I said, oh my gosh, you're right. You know, it just, I'm just so, I've always, like, if I'm multitasking, I'm in front of the computer and I start sending emails, and I don't, you know, to me, it's like, let it wait till Monday. I don't care. But people see emails and they react to them.
They think they need to respond.
It's like, I do, but it doesn't bother me, but it's true. We all need downtime.
Yes.
And so anyway, another digression. March 13th of 2020 was Friday the 13th. We'll never forget it.
No.
Is when the county shut us down, and you guys in Nutrition Services didn't shut down for a minute.
No.
Because you feed kids every single day that we have school.
Right.
And despite the fact that we, quote, didn't have school for, you know, a little bit there.
Right.
These kids still had to eat.
They still had to eat.
And it's been going on.
Ever since. We haven't stopped.
So how many meals, like, through, let's say, the middle of December, have you guys done?
We'll write about 4 million.
Unbelievable. and how many? So that's since March.
Yeah, we've since March, 4 million. Since school started, just shy of 2 million.
Okay, from August to now, about 2 million. Like, how many meals do you usually serve during that time period?
Well, during the summer, we usually serve about 65,000 meals, but over the summer, we served about 1.5 million.
Oh, so 65,000 for the whole summer.
For the whole summer.
And you did
a normal summer.
And you did more than double that.
Way more. We did, instead of 65,000, we did 1.5 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's, no, double would only be like 130,000.
Right. It was like 1,000%.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's hard to fathom, you know.
It's hard to fathom, and yet there are people who are food insecure that never were before.
Right.
Because, you know, they said, well, it's nice. My kid can get free lunch at school. It's there. But no big deal. You know, my kid can also bring their lunch or whatever. And they had a job.
Right. And that's the interesting part. I mean, I have people emailing me, thanking me, because they just never, ever thought that they would worry about where they were going to get food. And so we're here and able to at least feed their kids for them.
Right.
Which is great. And I'm glad we can do it. But yeah, it's a lot. We've served a lot of meals.
Yeah. And if you haven't had, well, most of you have not had the opportunity to see this operation in action, it's, I'm not telling you to come, because that's counter. It's against the advice of going where there's other people. You're supposed to not do that. But I've been there, and part of my job is to communicate and publicize all the great things happening. So I've been at several of the sites during meal distribution, and you have an amazing staff, and not to mention the site administrators who are out there as every week.
It without them, we would not be able to do what we're doing, and the staff. I mean, I've said it all the time, and until COVID, that this is the best staff I've ever worked with in my life, and I can hands down say that there's no way I would want to work anywhere else with anyone else. They're amazing. They have gotten it done every single day, and just ask how they can do more.
And, you know, through this mess, there are certain groups of people that, honestly, they're there. You appreciate them. You know that the kids do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody loves the lunch ladies.
It's true.
Right? I mean, they're actually one of the people that they're the first people that notice that there's something up with a kid, because they see them every day, and if they usually say hello and they don't, or, you know, they're wearing ripped clothes, or they're, you know, have holes in their shoes, they notice these things, and they help them.
Yes.
You know, they get them the assistance that they need. And so, you know, the lunch lady or the lunch gentleman is very a security for the kids.
They are, yeah.
But honestly, the rest of us are kind of like, you know, they're great. We know that they're here. We know they're doing a job. But after this, you know, you want to talk about an essential worker.
They
didn't, you know, miss a beat,
could
they. They weren't given the option.
They really
it was
weren't
like,
given the option.
You know, unless you have a medical reason, you are an essential employee and you have to be here. And by and large, they just stepped up and
they were
here, even if they were afraid, you know, and some of them I'm sure are still.
Okay. They are. They still. And, you know, and, you know, the concern never goes away, and it, you know, and it might alleviate for a month or two, but then it goes right back up. And, you know, we try to do our best to just stick to the science with them and share with them how important it is to stay 6 feet apart, wear your mask, wash your hands, especially when you're away from work. And, you know, it's hard. You do your best, and you want to put your arms around them so often, and you can't.
That's a bitch. That's really, like, for me, that's one of the hard. I'm a hugger, and I know you are too. And to not be able to hug people or shake their hand when you meet them for the first time, I wonder if we're ever going to go back to shaking hands, because it just seems like now you just don't. You know, I still, when I meet people, and I don't meet many people, but say, I wish I could shake your hand, you know, because it just seems so strange to not.
I know, it is strange. I'm hopeful. I'm really hopeful.
Well, vaccine's around the corner.
Yep.
And it's still going to take a while, though.
It is.
And people have to be patient and understand that. We had thought a couple months ago that we could start bringing kids back after winter break. That was our plan. That was our hope. And we were optimistic. And right around Thanksgiving, we realized that is impossible.
Yes.
Because it's really bad. And
is
it really bad because a good percentage of Americans did not listen to the advice of stay home, don't mix? I don't know. I mean, you know, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But
whether, you know, I mean, there's so much talk about, would we be in the same boat if nobody wore a mask? You know, like, does it matter? Like, did all this, and I can't believe that it wouldn't be mega times worse. You know,
I think it would definitely be mega times worse.
Yeah, I do too.
I do.
But, you know, still in all, we could sit here and speculate all year long, and it's not going to matter. It's frustrating and it's heartbreaking. And we have to go with the science, and we have to go with the guidelines that have been set for us.
Right.
And so even if we decided, and nobody here has, but even if we decided or our board decided, bring them all back tomorrow, we can't.
Right.
It's, you know, the only schools that are in operation right now are the ones that were, got a waiver.
Right.
When waivers were being permitted.
Right. Correct.
And that was a very short window, and
it
there
was.
Were very few schools that actually stepped up and did that. And the good news is that those few districts across the state have been doing well.
Yeah.
So that's great. And that's great. And still in all, you know, if one kid dies, that's way too many.
It's way too many.
So, thankfully, our board and our administration are very cautious.
Yes.
And as horrible as this is, the health and safety of our students and staff are number one.
Absolutely.
And we hope that now we're looking at possibly February we may, and that's at the time of recording the show. And by the time it airs, it may be, we may have
different.
To kick the can down the road a little further. Let's hope not. But in the meanwhile, so we did, and if you're listening, you're just joining us, you're listening to Learn Something New Every Day on KGX and KWXY, and my guest is our Director of Nutrition Services, Stephanie Bruce. So in addition to weekly meal distributions on Wednesdays, you also we have had small learning hubs. Mm-hmm. At almost all of our sites. And
right.
Those are groups of only up to about 10 kids, maybe 14 maximum.
Maybe 14, depending on, yeah.
Right, if they're really spread out and there's a big area. But like 14 kids maximum. But you are feeding them, right?
Yes, we are.
So how does that work?
So when they come onto campus, they get a grab-and-go breakfast. And in some cases, they're designated to some outside picnic tables. And we have it set up so that they all sit on one side facing the same direction. They're all 6 feet apart, and they can enjoy their breakfast before school starts. And if they've got, it's in a nice little Ziploc baggie with a little handle on it. So if they've got some items that they want to save for later, they can put it back in the bag and take it into the classroom with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of their instruction, as they're leaving, they get a grab-and-go lunch to take home with them.
Okay, so that's great.
Yeah.
And so those are, I mean, you're not tracking if the kid is one of the ones that's in a learning hub, their parents may still be coming through and getting the weekly meals.
Technically, I'm supposed to be.
That would be a nightmare.
It is a nightmare.
We're still on the summer program.
The summer program.
Which means that we feed all children under the age of 18.
Correct.
And so,
yeah.
Technically, I know that you're tracking as much
right.
as you can, but technically, you're not tracking infants.
No.
So if
no.
if somebody comes up and says that I have a one-year-old and a three-year-old at home, you're going to feed them too.
I am.
And how long is that going to be in effect, do we know?
Until June
30th. It's the whole year.
Yep, it's the whole school year.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
I know that it was off for like a month or two, right? I mean, and you were all set up for, everybody has to show a card, we have to count for everything, and aren't you glad that?
I'm glad that we went back to summer feeding. I just wish USDA had made the decision a little sooner.
No
kidding.
It's very
confusing and very frustrating. But they did make the decision, and you know we're in what's called an area eligible area anyway, so we do summer feeding over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the waivers are going to end on June 30th, we will continue until we start school again.
Okay, so that's good news for everybody. Even if you have children and they're under school age, you can still get food for them.
Yep.
At least till next August.
Yes, for sure.
So that's great. And in addition to, so we don't do meal service during when school's not in session. We do in the summer, but like not during, unless we have a program that's going on, like an intersession program or something.
Yes.
We don't do that. So we had two breaks since you were last here. So we had the Thanksgiving break. And in this district for the past few years, it's been a full week. So there was no meal service that week. But what you guys did was just, like, unbelievable.
It was pretty unbelievable because it was kind of a last-minute decision. And so trying to get the turkeys was...
So there was the regular meal service on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened on Friday?
Friday we did a Thanksgiving meal service so that they could have a week's worth of meals during Thanksgiving break. And we bought whatever turkeys we could find, which was a limited number, and which was the unfortunate part. I wish I had a turkey for everyone, but we didn't. But we still managed to serve over 7,000 students on Friday, and we were able to do turkeys, bags of potatoes, bags of onions, celery, bread to make stuffing, and corn as well. So it was pretty nice. It's pretty
You know, social media buzz after I posted the photos was very positive. There were a few people that said, you know, I waited online and they ran out. But it was kind of more of, I should have come earlier. It wasn't like, you know, how could they do that? Because you were up front all over the place saying we're doing this and it's first come, first serve.
Yeah.
And we were clear that there wasn't going to be enough for everybody.
Yeah.
So then... we had a couple weeks, and then we were going to get ready to go on winter break, which
right.
is a 3-week break.
Right.
So what happened the week before winter break?
Well, so the week before winter break, we did our normal meal service that Wednesday, and then on Friday we did another meal service so that the we could provide them a holiday meal for everyone, and it was tamales and fresh avocados so they can make guacamole. And we added onions and some other things to go into the guacamole, and some other food items as well. But what we did was, because we're closed for 3 weeks,
right.
and we don't have staff, all of our staff
right.
is off. So on Wednesday, we provided them 2 weeks' worth of meals.
Uh-huh.
And then on Friday, we provided them another 2 weeks' worth of meals.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So they ended up getting the 4 weeks of meals, so that last week before break, and then 3 weeks of the break. And then we will resume this Wednesday.
Wow. So, and I would assume that a lot of what you're giving them is that they're going to stick them in the freezer so that it can last,
yes.
you know, 2 weeks.
Yeah, some of it is frozen food, and some of it's shelf stable. We try to do as much shelf stable as we can because their freezers are full.
Yeah,
and you know, and as much as they need the food, they need freezer space too. So we're trying to be conscious of that as well.
Okay, so one other thing that you've recently started is a pilot online reservations.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that.
So after the Thanksgiving meal and having to turn people away, which really broke all our hearts, we wanted to try and find a way that we could guarantee the families the meals that they want to get. So on that Friday before the winter break, it was our first time trying it, is an online order system where the parents go online and they set up an account. And typically it would be if, you know, you would only be for enrolled students, but we had the company alter the program so that the parents could actually log in, get an account, and then just tell us how many kids they have, what site they want to pick it up at, and then submit the order. And then we would get the order in-house, and we would know exactly how many meals to prepare for every single site. And the parents would just show us their confirmation email where it shows they ordered 5 meals from Agua Caliente, and they're going to pull up to Agua Caliente, show that, and they went down the line with the pre-orders, and then we'll have a line for those people who weren't able to pre-order and just want to show up. But those will, of course, be while supplies last, because we can't really predict how many people will show up outside of those orders.
So instead, I know that before that, you had, you know, packages assembled, but then you would, like, you know, there'd be a number in the window. It shows how many meals they're picking up. And then
right.
somebody, the people who are doing it would put together 3 sets of meals.
Right.
Are you going to be able to do that now the day before and have them packaged together?
We still do that. And right now, or, you know, prior to the online system, we just guess.
Okay.
We just kind of go based on history. So if last week we served 6,000 students, then we think we're going to hopefully serve 6,000 students.
Well, no, but
week.
I mean, though, like if a family orders 4 meals, because that's how many kids they have,
right.
Like, you'll know before that we have, you know, 80 orders of 3.
Yes.
And so
yes,
that'll make
that.
It kind of easier, right?
It will make it a lot easier. And actually, that's what we do that right now anyways. We pack the food in 1s, 2s, and 4s.
Oh, okay.
So when a family of 3 comes up, they just take a 1 and a 2. And if there's a family of 5, it's a 4 and a 1.
Gotcha.
So it makes it really, really easy and fast.
Gotcha.
And
right.
My staff came up with that.
It makes sense. All right, before we run out of time, so you let me know, and it's a couple of months ago now, that you were going to be testifying at a Senate
hearing.
Subcommittee hearing, and it's the committee on...
It's health and welfare.
Right.
Human
and
health and welfare. And
all about meal,
all
food.
About, food insecurity and child hunger.
Right. So it was very interesting. It was long, but
it was long.
And you were toward the end of it. But I actually, I wasn't upset about it. I was doing other things, which is the best part about Zoom meetings,
is
that you can get other stuff done if
yes.
you're not on.
Yes.
Right. So, but the whole thing I found very interesting, and it was all the different divisions, like, you know, they talked about seniors too.
Yeah.
And so, but of course, kids was a big part of it. And you shared with them our partnership with our local farmers.
Yes.
And is that, give us a little recap on that.
So we are purchasing produce from local Coachella farmers. I had a gentleman, one of the date farmers locally, lost his business overnight and just asked if there was any way we could help. And I said, sure. So we started providing his dates on the program. And then I told him I struggled trying to make connections with farmers. So he's become my connection. And he goes out and procures items from local farmers. And we provide a produce box for our fruit and vegetables that we're required to provide. And we've done that since the pandemic hit. And I don't see us ever stopping it. And now we're looking to write grants so that we can continue the process and maybe have some of the local farmers plant specific crops for the program. So
that's so cool.
It's really cool.
And I've gotten to see a couple of those. I actually took home a couple of them when you had extras.
Yeah.
And that stopped pretty quick, though, so there must not be any extras anymore. But, boy, there was stuff in there that I've never tried, like these really interesting varieties of eggplant, and and everything is really fresh, and like the grapes, and, I mean, just it's wonderful. But so the reaction from both the senators and also the public comments that came afterwards was, like, amazing.
It was amazing.
One of them was what, that really, you should be running the program for the whole state.
Yeah. And I didn't even listen to who actually said the comment, but my ears perked up. I was like, wow, that's so nice.
The senator, I don't remember her name, but the one who chairs that committee was really fascinated.
Yeah, Senator Hurtado.
Yeah, she really, like, you know, asked you all a bunch of questions, and way more than the other person who testified in the same category. I don't even remember who she was. But
I know, poor thing. She was a little flustered. Yeah, and that senator actually called me the next day, too, to ask more questions. So that was pretty
well, nice. And she was really interested in the fact that you're providing food for our child care centers.
Yeah.
And, you know, because at first they were just coming and saying, we need 25.
Right.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
yeah,
we can't do that.
You got 25 kids.
So you reached out to them through the county and said, yeah, we'll provide it. Let's just figure out a better way, right?
And that's what we did. So we know how many they're going to need every week. We just put it together and we deliver it. And if it changes, they call us and let us know. But it's just,
so you deliver to their, to where they're working.
Yep.
So they don't even have to leave.
No, they don't have to leave to come get it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's such a huge undertaking, all of this.
It is.
And I know you haven't had a vacation. I hope you get one sometime soon. And I am just in awe of you and your department.
Oh, thank you.
For real.
That.
I mean, it's impressive, and we're all really grateful. Like, you know, when I say we all, the administration and the board, but primarily I'm speaking on behalf of our families and our kids, because
you
know that it's a huge need.
It's a huge need, and the parents have been amazing. The comments I've received from them have been wonderful, and even when there's a problem, I, you know, they'll call or they'll email me saying, I'm not trying to be ungrateful, but, and I appreciate that so much because I can't be everywhere and
exactly
see everything, so it helps me make sure that we're doing a better job moving forward.
Yeah, and most of the, you know, we don't get a lot of complaints, but most of the ones that we do are valid.
Yeah,
you know,
they are.
And it's not necessarily in our control, or not necessarily something we could have avoided, but still they're valid.
Yep,
so
absolutely.
And good to learning experiences. Thank you for everything
you
that you do. We'll have you back soon for another update. We didn't even talk about what happens during hybrid, but I kind of feel like we can wait on that.
We got time.
Our show airs each Sunday right here on KWXY and KGX. Our podcast is uploaded each week. Please subscribe by going to iTunes. Look for You Learn Something New. Press subscribe. Please tell all your friends to do the same. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Myra and Jasmine, and we'll see you next week.